Chag Sameach, and welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Hoshana Rabbah, Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Erev Shemini Atzeres, the 21st day of the month of Tishrei. I'd like to thank my good friend and colleague, Rabbi David Pardo, for filling in for me yesterday, as well as Rabbi Adir Posey and Rabbi Phil Karish for filling in earlier this week. It's good to be back, and I look forward to doing so consistently next week after what we hope will, in Yiras Hashem, please God, be a beautiful, safe, and healthy Chag. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their really incredible continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, and we greatly appreciate that, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Monday's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to introduce Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman, Morid D'Asra of Congregation Avas Israel in Passaic, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Eisenman slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 21, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholem and Achenu. We will conclude this call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Eisenman to learn of more about his wonderful community in Passaic. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Monday's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Eisenman.
Thank you so much, Naftali, and it's an honor to be here and to be part of this beautiful OU's Chizuk call, which takes place in, from, I know so many hundreds, if not over 1,000 people listen to this, and it's a great honor to be here today, so thank you very much. It's interesting that tomorrow on Shemini Atzeres is the final time we have to recite chapter 27 in Tehillim, Psalms 27, which is L'David Hashem Ori, which is a psalm we've been adding on both in the morning and in the evening to our prayers since already the beginning of the month of Elul. It's quite a while already. And there's a very famous verse in that chapter, which reads in the Hebrew, Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Osa Vakesh. There's one thing that I ask from Hashem, this is what I request. Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I'd like to sit in the house of Hashem, sit in God's house all the days of my life. Lachsos Benoam Hashem Ulevake Behechalo. To feel, to see, to experience the pleasantness of Hashem, and to visit in His temple. So there's an obvious, a little bit of a difficulty. On one hand, King David, David HaMelech, asks to sit in the house of the God all the days of his life. On the other hand, at the end of the verse, he requests that he would like to be a visitor, ulevaker, and a visitor in God's palace. A visitor, the implication is once in a while. On the other hand, the first part of the verse indicates that he'd like to be a perpetual residence. Which one is it? Is it a guest which comes once in a while, or is it a permanent resident? So the answer is really both. David HaMelech wanted to be in Hashem's house every day. However, we all realize when you have something, you no longer appreciate it after a while. On the other hand, a visitor, a one-time visitor, certainly makes the most of what they have. It's a special occasion. This year on Simchas Torah, we have the special opportunity to be a special visitor in Hashem's house. As many of us know, depending on the neighborhood, the part of the country you're living in, this Simchas Torah certainly will not be like any other Simchas Torah, whatever the restrictions are in place in your neck of the woods. And some of us may be feeling perhaps disappointed. However, indeed, I think we should look at it as an opportunity as opposed to a disappointment. It's fascinating to note that the only parsha, the only portion of the week which is never read in the diaspora on Shabbos. In Israel, it is read on Shabbos as this year, but in the diaspora, it's never read on Shabbos. It's the last parsha of the Torah, Zos HaBracha, which will be read on Sunday. And that the verse there says, with regard to the burial of Moshe, Vayikbor oso begad be'eretz Moav, and Moshe was buried in the valley in the land of Moav, Mul Beis Peor, across from an idolatrous temple called Beis Peor. And then the verse concludes, V'lo yada ish es kvuroso ad hayom hazeh. Nobody knows his burial place until this day. That masculine singular pronoun, kvuroso, his burial place, is generally assumed to refer to no one knows where Moshe's burial place is to this day. However, the early Hasidic masters tell us that the end of this verse, V'lo yada ish es kvuroso ad hayom hazeh, means no man knows his own place of rest until this day. Meaning we would have imagined that Moshe Rabbeinu's final resting place would have been a beautiful, beautiful mausoleum with a fitting monument, and perhaps it would have been on the Mount of Olives, and there would have been a place for pilgrims to come and to pray. And alas, it's just the opposite. Moshe is buried not even in Israel, not in the land of Israel, in the land of Moab, across the street from an idolatrous, heathen, vile, pagan temple. And the Baal Peor was perhaps the most depraved and revolting of the pagan worship. Nevertheless, that's exactly where Moshe, perhaps the greatest Jew of all time, is buried. The Hasidic masters teach us, from here we learn the important lesson that nobody, there are no guarantees in life, and nobody really ever knows. They have no right to have expectations on where they'll be or what they're going to be. Life is not about expectations. Life is about our reactions to the circumstances we find ourselves. And that is exactly a beautiful lesson we can take from this year. It's not about feeling restricted, and it's not about feeling disappointed. It's about taking the challenge and making this a visit, making this a real bikur, a chance to experience Simchas Torah in a way perhaps we never thought about, in a more creative fashion with our family and our children. We must remember Rav Moshe Feinstein of blessed memory, when asked why so many Jews of the early immigrant Jews who came there at the turn of the 20th century, even if they personally were observant, their children did not remain observant. Rav Moshe Feinstein answered, because they heard, those second generation Jews heard their parents say, it's schwer zu sein a Yid, it's difficult to be a Jew. And their children said, well, if it's so difficult, then why remain observant? We have to remember that lesson. We didn't expect this. We didn't ask for it, but the reality is this situation is different this year. But we do have that choice. That choice is in our hands. Do we say, Shver zu sein Yid, it's difficult to be a Jew, or do we engage and we embrace the situation? This is a new way to visit with Hashem, a way to embrace the Yontif of Simchas Torah in a way we never thought possible. And in the happiness and in the Simcha that we show to the holiday and to our family, that is the lesson they're going to take from it. So I think it's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity this year to make it a special and creative Simcha of this year's Simchas Torah. I'd like now to say the Tehillim. I'm going to begin with chapter 23, Chaf Gimel, Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Ro'i Lo Echsar, Bin Os Desha Yar Bitzeni, Ame Menuchos Yan Ha'aleni, Nafshi Yeshovev, Yancheni B'Magle Tzedek, Leman Shemo, Gam Ki Elech Begeit Salmoves, Lo Ira Ro, Ki Ata Imodi, Shiftecha Mishantecha Hema Yenachamuni, Taroch Lefonai Shulchan, Neged Zoreroi, Dishanto Vashem and Roshi Kosi de Vayo, Ach Tov Vachesed Yerdefuni Koyeme Chayoi, Vishavti Beveis Adonoi, Leorech Yomim. We'll now move to Psalm 121, Kuf Chof Aleph. Shir La Ma'alos, Esa Einai El Harimi Ein Yavo Ezri, Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shemayim Va'oretz, Al Yiten Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomrecha, Hinei Lo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomrecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yeminecha, Yomom Hashemesh Lo Yakeka V'Yoreach Baloilo, Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra, Yishmor Es Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor Tzeischa Vo'echa, Me'ata V'ad Olam. We'll conclude with Psalm 130, Kuf Lamed. Shir HaMa'alos Mimama Kim Tirosicha Adonai. Adonai Shema V'koli Tiena Ozdecha Kashuvos Lekol Tachanunoi. Im avonos tishmorio Adonai miyamod, ki imecha haslicha leman tivorei, ki visi Adonai kivson nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Yechel Yisrael el Adonai, ki Adonai achesed varbe imofidus, v'hu yifte es Yisrael mikol avonosov. At this point, we'll now be making a Mishaberech, a prayer for all those who are sick, who are cholim, who are ill. I will pause in the middle for you to insert any private names, personal names you would like to insert. Mishaberech Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aharon David Ushlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirape Es HaCholim. Ba'avur shebli neder niten litzdaka ba'avurom. B'schaze ha-kadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem l'hachlimam ul'raposam ul'hachzikam ul'hachayusam. V'yishlach lahem mehira rufua shlema min ha-shamayim l'chol evarehem ul'chol gideihem b'soch shar chole Yisrael rufuas ha-nefesh urufuas ha-guf Hashta ba'agala ubizvan kariv v'nomar amen. At this point, we'll turn to say Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, which will, in general, asking for Hashem for everyone's well-being. Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, hanisunim b'tzara uveshivya, haomdim ben bayom uben bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotziem b'tzara lirvacha, mumiyafela laora, umishibud l'gu'ula, hashta ba'gala uvzman kariv, v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Eisenman, and appreciate the Divrei Chizik, and I imagine that most of the chevra of our callers now transitioning into listeners greatly appreciated, as up until Rosh Chodesh Elul, our group had been reciting Perek Chaf Zayin as a part of our grouping of Tehillim for months and months. I imagine everyone on this call could probably even recite it by heart, so deeply appreciate you sharing further insight into that as well.
Thank you.
As we transition into the next segment of our call, just to get us started, how are you, your family, and the community overall doing?
Well, thank you, first of all, for asking, and I hope you and your family are well. As far as me personally, honestly, I am just recovering myself from a bout with COVID-19. I was actually came back COVID positive right after Yom Kippur, so I myself, but thankfully, I'm recovering, so that's good. My family, thank God, as well, and the community as a whole, although we did lose two members of the community to COVID in the first wave. In general, thankfully, although there are cases, thankfully, there are not many very severely ill people at this point in the community, which we're thankful for.
We're sorry to hear of the loss to your community. One is too many, but certainly we hope that that you have a refuah shalema, Hashem should give you strength, it should be an easy recovery, and the uptick that we see happening in the Northeast and other parts of the country, we hope is just that it's not another wave, but whatever is going up should quickly go back down, and we should please God get closer and closer to the refuah and to this all being gone. To get us started, and for our listeners, it's hard to imagine a Jew in the world not being familiar with Pesach, but just in case, if you could give us a little bit of a background on the community of Pesach, and more specifically about your wonderful shul.
Well, a quick background, Pesach has been an, had an Orthodox community for quite a while, probably 100 years at this point. I think it had after the riots in Newark and that part of northern New Jersey, it had a downswing. However, since the late 70s and certainly the 80s, it's, thank God, it's had a tremendous upswing, as you mentioned. It's pretty, I would imagine at this point, somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 families are living here as present. I think we have, by the way, and I've never checked this out actually, but I think we have the distinction of perhaps being the only city in the United States. This is my own chiddush, my own original thought, so it's not scientifically proven. But I wonder sometimes that perhaps we have the distinction of being the only city with a population of over 50,000 people in Passaic, which every single synagogue in the confines of Passaic is Orthodox. There are no non-Orthodox synagogues actually in Passaic. In the Clifton, which is the next town over, and it's actually, it's continuous, but there are no non-Orthodox synagogues in Passaic itself. Most synagogues here are Orthodox, actually. Which is interesting.
Very interesting tidbit. Yeah. You should know my next question was going to be was to ask you about Clifton. But if you could share with us a little bit about Abbas Israel for our listeners who might not be as familiar.
Right. So as many mentioned, the Passaic community is a very, thank God, it's a strong community, diversified community. I think it's a community which is known for its chesed, its compassion for others. Our shul, Avos Israel, thankfully happens to sit in the center, very centrally located, and the shul itself, at this point during COVID, thank God we have, but pre-COVID days, we were having approximately 40 minyanim a day, beginning with pre-Vasikin, pre-sunrise minyans, for people who had to go to work early, continuing till the last Maariv, being at midnight, with obviously 10 or 12 shacharis during the morning and 10 or 12 minchas and another 15 marivs. So at this point, we're about 15, 20 minyanim a day, because just because of COVID restrictions, it's obviously less. But it's a pretty busy happening place, yeah, in that way, for sure.
Unbelievable. And I have a mishpacha, my sister's family lives in Passaic, but very possible. When I once needed a mincha, that they directed me to your shul. Very possible I'd daven there in the past as well. A question for you, and it's one that we've been asking every single day in, day out on these phone calls. You know, with the world changing so much dramatically as a result of this pandemic, we're going to continue to see change, and we've seen innovation as well. What communal changes do you anticipate for yours and the broader Jewish community as we look positively towards the future?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, in general, I'm always hopefully positive towards the future, which I think all of us should be. But actually, I'm still think it's important we live in the present. I think we're almost over I don't even know if I'm ready to move into, you know, post-COVID mindset yet. We don't know when this is going to end, and we don't know how it's going to end. So honestly, I'm focusing on trying to continue spirituality and continue strengthening our religious observance now, in the here and the now. I think, like anything as Jews, I would imagine it'll be easier and certainly a lot, you know, with less restrictions and less things to worry about. You know, if things will go back exactly to how they were, I would hope they would, but obviously, I don't know for sure.
Right. No, fair enough. So the last question for you. On Sunday, in Yiras Hashem, please God, we will celebrate Simchat Torah. And unfortunately, this year, what for many is the highlight of the year, it's going to be different. The opportunity to celebrate Torah possibly may be dampened just by the reality of the days that we're living in, of social distancing. And there are many shuls that will either have limited to no dancing. What's the plan for your shul? You mentioned in its heyday, and a day that we hope to get back to, and even better, 40 minyanim a day. What's the plan for Simchas Torah going into Yom Tov now, just a few hours away.
Well, we'll have two minyanim, a vasik and a sunrise minyan, and then the regular minyan at 8:30. However, being to abide by the health guidelines, both from the health department and the local authorities, and by our local physicians, we try to keep to them and in a very strict fashion. So honestly, I have decided that there will be no dancing per se. Only the chazan, only the shliach tzibur, the cantor, he will be the only one who is doing chatz, which is doing any sort of circuits. He'll be doing seven hakafis and leading some sort of tune. However, the rest of the congregation will remain in their socially distanced places and masked. And he will, after each circuit, we will have one song picked in honor of that, and then we'll move on to the second and third. Only the chazan will be, one Torah will be coming out, and only one person will be making the hakafa around the shulchan.
Very, very good. Sounds like a great plan. And Rav Eisenman, we want to thank you so much for being on the program today and for providing us a picture of your wonderful community, as we are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health, especially focusing on the latter, an easy and complete refuah shleima for you and for all in need. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered with tovah for good. And may the Ribono Shel Olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Yonah Reis of Beis Din of the Chicago Rabbinical Council, the CRC, in Chicago, Illinois. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.